Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
It's the JT and Looney Podcast, episode
156.
Powered by our friends at Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, college football,
touchdown USC,
every league, Major League Baseball, the NFL, you know what the leagues are, NBA, NHL, UFC, CIA, BBC, BB King, and Doris Day.
Dig it.
Even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, futures. Head to BetOnline as soon as you can. Right after this podcast, head to BetOnline. You can use your phone or your personal PC. And just for being friends with JT and Looney, you get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. But you have to use our new promo code, BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, 50. It's B-L-E-A-V. 50.
BLEAV 50.
And get your 50% welcome bonus. That's Bet Online, our proud sponsor.
Or maybe they're ashamed. I don't know.
But they are our sponsor. Bet Online, where the game starts. And now the podcast starts. Damn it.
I cannot believe we did not get a podcast award for the brilliance of this podcast.
Thank you.
No podcast covered more unique topics, highs and lows, than we did in 2022. We remain two friends that are consistent in this world of platforms. I have multiple platforms. Right. You have multiple platforms. And we want to thank our audience and our viewers and our listeners in advance for listening to the podcast. I think the greatest years ahead, the greatness of the Raiders always lies in its future, as the great Al Davis said. I think the greatness of this podcast lies in its future. It's like a lottery ticket. I think of it as a lottery ticket that one day we're going to cash.
I think the greatness of the universe lies in the future as well. The greatness of our country and the greatness of humanity lies in the future, because we are always getting to be better people. We are getting better with the world getting smaller and the World Wide Web at covering gloom and doom. But there's never been more people. There's never been less hunger on Earth than there is now. There's never been any child born in the universe right now. Well, on Earth right now. I don't know about children being born out there in the universe. But here on Earth, almost every child born is within 10 miles of a free vaccine if they need one. And it's there's a lot of good news out there, but there's no good news channel.
No, this not. And we decided before our final podcast of the year that we didn't want to do a real negative one. We didn't want to do the worst moments of the year, doom and gloom, the stock market, your 401k. Oh, COVID's back. You take a look at China. COVID's back. Mm-hmm. Knock, knock. COVID's back. We didn't want to do that. We didn't want to do anything. We didn't want to talk about the border. And we didn't want to get into Ukraine and Russia, even though it's very serious. We wanted to end the year on a high note and talk about our friendship, a couple of great things that are going on, and, you know, try to build on everything that we've done in our life in 2022, and hopefully it's better in 2023.
And there should be more of that, although I don't know. I've often said this. If there's a book on kindness on the shelf, the wrong people are probably buying it. And if there's a podcast that emphasizes the positive, the wrong people will probably listen to it. Positive people will listen to it. People that need the podcast or need that book on kindness won't be indulging. But it still doesn't mean you don't do it. I was talking about this to a friend yesterday about, as you know, I'm an English and Spanish speaking person. And sometimes if I go into a store, and I live in a big multicultural city, and I see a Latino or a Latina working behind the counter, I sometimes will jump right into Spanish, because it's like giving a hug. And 99 times out of 100, you get a really surprised smile when Spanish starts coming out of a white boy's mouth. And one time out of 100, someone will say, I speak English. But you can't just give up giving the hug 99 times out of 100. You know, if 99% of the people are going to accept it like a hug, you have to live your life that way and not worry about the haters, as they say in 2022.
Well, I'm drinking a Prisoner Cabernet Sauvignon.
Ooh.
To wrap up the year, even though I have a lot of work to get done here. It's a school night. I interview the head coach of an NFL team. I have several radio shows.
I talked to two GMs today.
You did? Look at that. Wow, I get that. That's a great joke. Someone better get that. I spoke to a GM last night. Who? Who? You got a radio show. Tell the name. Well, is he in trouble? Did he get a DUI? I spoke to two executives yesterday. Oh, what's their names? Oh, you can't say? Are they in the hospital? Are they dying? Oh, yeah, I love that line.
Just but, as we say, stay positive. We can't help but dive into to inside baseball stuff that makes
believe me. If we wanted to do one of these media podcasts, at the end of the year, you get the media podcast, and it's, you know, Yahoo's taking over DirecTV, Sunday Ticket.
Right.
Who was the member of the media who's ascending and descending, which basically is who did the best job with clickbait this year? Who came out of nowhere?
Because
we've done what they've all done at some level. And who's come up this year from nowhere who cut the line with some egregious clickbait or his friends, nepotism, friends with someone who got
him
a job?
They're
ascending media talent here, and who got in trouble for maybe keeping their webcam open when they should have closed it? You know, who got in trouble because they said something into an open microphone? About a parade that was happening maybe in the city that weekend that they shouldn't have, something descending or condescending there. But again, for the media, let's get into that. For the media, a couple of big stories this year was football going to Amazon on Thursday night. What a garbage schedule they got. Okay, one thing that stays true in life, when you come in new to the media, they give you the garbage. And Michaels had to take out the garbage. And in a good way, Al Michaels was the perfect guy to do it. He got paid some ridiculous number to keep him playing at all the golf courses in Beverly Hills. I mean, if there's ever been a guy, there's two guys in all of media that should never, ever worry about getting someone else's job ever. Bob Costas and Al Michaels. They've done it all. So if they don't have Sunday night football anymore or Monday night football, they should just look at the zeros on their paycheck. So Thursday night football launch. And then at the end of the year, Roger Goodell came to terms with Google and YouTube to move Sunday Ticket going forward there instead of DirecTV. You're going to have to go to YouTube TV, which my sons live on. They love it. They've had YouTube TV upstairs and on college campuses their whole life. We're going to have to work how to navigate that, Tom, going forward.
Oh, I remember the first time I saw YouTube. I clicked something on MySpace back in the day on MySpace Monday. And I thought, oh, my God, I love it. And I'm a huge fan of YouTube because YouTube has things that you want. You know, if you go back in the hot tub time machine to your childhood, the cartoons that you watched on WPIX. And you say, oh, I wonder if they have Gigantor, the space age robot. I wonder if they have Speed Racer. And you go find stuff, the Munsters, and find stuff that the Ron Lyle George Foreman fight that aired once live on TV and never was to be seen again. And YouTube has revivified so many great athletes and the legend of so many great athletes and entertainers over the years. I love YouTube.
And as I've talked about much this year on the podcast, my 21 and 19-year-old sons who are home, they get all their content in small doses. Yeah, you know, I do a three-hour radio show every day and a two-hour radio show every day. Solo, 5 hours. Please get me an award. Please give me a pat on the back, please. I made it through another year. It's a miracle. But they get all their content. As dad's working in the office doing 3 hours, begging for air, begging for a commercial and a sports update at the top and bottom of the hour to take a sip of water. They're getting all their content in 2 minutes and 11 seconds, a minute 50, 39 seconds. They get it all. Luka Doncic went off, the first player ever to have a stat line that Will Chamberlain never had. And they watched the final 35 seconds of it, and they got it all in 35 seconds, and they didn't have to painfully watch the entire game.
There's a kid named Alex Warren who was homeless, who lives in the San Fernando, who lived in the San Fernando Valley, stayed on a lot of his friends' couches. His mother had a lot of issues. I don't know if his dad was in his life. And he eventually turned all that into a television show and had millions of followers and then was able to buy a house in Hidden Hills. And now his show is there with all of his friends. And he lets his friends when he was younger, who let him stay on their couch, they get to stay in his mansion. And they're making a TV show out of his life. I think that's really cool.
They're making a lot of money too, right? They're making a ton of money.
Yeah. And they do episodes and have fun stuff. And it's more work for actors than there's ever been in the history of Hollywood.
Well, that's what's great about it. I'm watching the new Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime. It's unbelievable. The set locations in every episode, they're in Budapest, Rome, Croatia, D.C. It's fantastic. It's like going to a James Bond movie every episode. That's what I loved about Game of Thrones. And I loved about one of my winners. We have our winners, not losers. One of our winners this year is The Crown. I love The Crown. As you know, I love everything royal. And I just love, I'm so into the set locations. When you on the road and to do it somewhere spectacular. So Jack Ryan season 3 is the closest thing I saw to Homeland. With Claire Danes, a great show, Homeland.
I think it was 8 or 9 seasons.
Fantastic. Oh, fantastic. And their set locations were always great. But, you know, that's what I love about this. When you talk about someone who can go into their basement on YouTube or on TikTok and make $100,000 a month in their home, and to do that, that is a wave of the future. That's new media, and that's going to be with us forever.
And I know this director who just eventually, you know, would love to be Steven Spielberg, but in the meantime, I think he's got a million followers, and he likes to have good, decent Hallmark after school type content. So he does the after school special about once or twice a month. Mm-hmm. And I think he makes $60,000 to $100,000 a year with his 100,000 followers. And, I mean, with his million followers. And that's great. I mean, it's terrific. And because he doesn't have to wait for Hollywood to recognize him, he can make stuff that people can recognize.
One of the things in media, too, that we should touch on, this is our last podcast of the year. I remember when they put sports radio on television.
Yeah.
So they put it on television and Dan Patrick would do it. And he'd have some figurines in front of him and talk to guys with funny names in the background who all had a role with the show. And that's a nice role. It's a good role. And then they had Jim Rome, who I fill in for. And I do the Jim Rome show from time to time. He's in a studio. And then they did that. And that's kind of jumped the shark. Now, if you turn on Rich Eisen, friend of the show, they're broadcast there. And that happened. That's happened over the years. Then they took shows like Around the Horn and gave you points for no reason. You got 3 points or minus 2. And you said something stupid or funny and just got points. And no one knew where the points came from. And now they're having anniversary shows and they have a look back. And like they did a thing on the 20th year or whatever on that. And now they did the screaming debate shows. And always make sure that we compliment our friend Stephen A. Right. Who we worked with, who's changed that genre. But then you got Skip and he's an actor and all that. We covered that this year on the podcast. I think they've now run out of all ideas. They put radio on TV. They put the debate show screaming on TV. They put the game shows, the stupid game shows with fake points on TV. I don't think there's anything else, Tom. I really think they ran out of ideas. There's nothing more for cable sports to put on TV anymore. What could there be? You're a pioneer at the best damn sports show, period.
You should get
a Lifetime Achievement Award like George Clooney getting a Kennedy Center honor.
I know, and it still should be on. So many people, you know, I was talking to Chris Rose, and he said that still if he's at 7-Eleven, and he's done a lot of work since, the most common question he gets is, are they ever going to bring Best Damn Sports Show period back?
He does Battle Bots.
He does all kinds of work.
I'm sure he downloads our podcast.
MLB Network and NFL Network and Battle Bots. He does poker.
I got friends of mine who watch BattleBots and live for BattleBots.
Wow.
And Chris Rose has done a nice job. Good friend of the show and a good broadcaster. But think about that, because now Amazon and YouTube are going to take the broadcast rights for the NFL. And they have it. It's a done deal. And you wonder what they're going to do. Amazon did the same sideline pregame show that every network has ever done.
I didn't answer your question. And now I'm going to answer your question. How about putting a quarter turn on the mundane? And, you know, I always did that with anything I've done in broadcasting because I don't want to do it like everyone else. Did anyone else do a sports update like me? No, I didn't want to do it like everyone else. Just give scores and highlights. And I didn't want to do vanilla. Everyone's doing the vanilla. Everyone's got a jury covering the game. You need eight people on the sideline. You need six. You need four. Everyone's got too many people on television on the sideline. Oh, we got to get him. He won a Heisman Trophy. We got to get him. He won an Oscar. And they have too many. There's just too many people sitting in a chair on the sideline covering them with the pregame and the postgame. They don't need that many people. I want more broadcasting jobs, not less. So I'm being a hypocrite when I'm saying less people. But when it comes to production, you're asking me to take myself out of the talent box, put myself in a corner office. Yeah, I'd make a lot of changes.
Well, I'll just say this to jump in and give you a nice compliment. I'm airmailing you over the internet a compliment. You are not only a great broadcaster, great actor, a lot of things you do well. You are the greatest sports update anchor of all time.
Thank you.
Everybody has told me that, from the highest executives in radio to people that are just getting into radio who I get to mentor and you do. Everyone has one thing in common. Nobody, with all due respect to Jerome Jurenovich, CNN, Headline Sports, great. Our guy, or my guy, Zig Fricassi, on NFL radio and Mad Dog, great long-term friend of mine. You are the greatest update anchor, top and bottom of the hour, that has ever lived. There better be a bleeping Marconi Award for you at some point, and I'll make sure I fight for it.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. I just didn't want to do it. And that would be my advice to the networks when you say, what else can you do? Do something that everyone else hasn't done. Put a quarter turn on the mundane. Don't do it the same way everybody else is doing it. I mean, Nickelodeon tried this past weekend with Ian Eagle's son. And as people get upset about people's children getting jobs.
He's actually pretty good.
He's very good, Noah pretty Eagle. Good. And I have an opinion about that. When everybody picking on people, who their father is, that's like picking on someone's race or someone's sexual orientation or someone's ethnicity. People don't choose who their parents are. If your parent is a famous broadcaster or an actor or works in the stock market, and you would like to be a broadcaster just like Dad, or a fireman just like Dad, or a police officer just like Dad, that's a tradition going all the way back to the caves. People want to do what Dad did. People want to do what their mom did. Leave people alone.
As Andy Cohen would say on Bravo, this is what's fascinating to me right now. This is what fascinates me. Southwest Airlines and the great debacle of the snowstorm back east and what just happened. I am studying this like I am sitting in college. I am consuming so much content on this because a couple of reasons. First off, several of my friends, multiple friends, are in harm's way now.
Yeah, me too.
They're really in harm's way. They can't get home to Vegas. We don't have any snow. We barely have any rain. You live in LA, it was 80 degrees on Christmas. They were canceling flights from LA to Vegas, from LA to Hawaii, from San Diego to Maui because of what happened with Southwest Airlines. So for those, obviously everybody should know, it wasn't so much the weather. The weather started it. It was a glitch in their IT. They didn't have the software. Nobody asked. Nobody said to anybody, hey, did we upgrade the 1997 Windows software? Did we upgrade the 2011 Microsoft software? And no one did. And now they're sitting there because they don't have hubs. They have more spokes. It's very complex how they're regional. That the fact that this brutal snowstorm in Buffalo, mostly Buffalo and back east, started it all. Pilots couldn't get online. Pilots couldn't call the call center. Customers couldn't call the 800 number. And the dirty little secret, we've been downsizing with human beings who can talk to you, calm you down, and tell you, ma'am, sir, we'll get you on another flight. You might need to drive to Philadelphia from Buffalo. You might have to go to Cleveland, but we can guarantee we can get you on that flight with your daughter, but just get there on your own. Those phone calls didn't even happen. And even at the airport, the customer reps couldn't tell anybody that. Can you believe our year ended on that, Tom?
My uncle Mike raised eight kids. My aunt Ann didn't start working until Maggie, the youngest, seven boys and one girl. Maggie, the youngest, started going to high school. She started doing real estate. Raised those eight kids running Dairy Lee Milk Factory in Elmira, New York. What does that have to do with this? Yeah, we've stopped paying people what they deserved. And we've stopped. And here's my example about this. Southwest Airlines received $7.2 billion in federal subsidies since 2020. $7.2 billion. So they could have hired more people. They could have got the best computers known to man. What are they doing with that money? What have they done with that money? Well, they didn't build infrastructure. They didn't invest in their IT. And they didn't invest in people. And that sucks.
Well, I'm an expert on this topic because for most of my life, I've been A-list preferred. So what that means is I have a card. They give me a card. It's like a Hooters card. It's like a Hooters card or a Discover card. And every year I get A-list preferred. And back in the day, my secret is for 17 years of my 24 years with the Raiders, I'd show up on the sideline and everybody thought I lived in the Bay Area. Hey, JT. No, I lived in Vegas. So I had to fly up twice a week. I'd fly up on Tuesday and host the Silver and Black show or Behind the Shields. And I'd get on a flight. No exaggeration. I'd land at 9. I'd get in the chair. I'd finish at 10. I'd be at the airport at 10:20. And I'd be on the 11:05 back in Burbank at noon. And I'd be able to go on the air with you at 5 or 6 or 7 at night. And then I'd fly up every game day, every home game, part of my job. So I always had A-list preferred. So I'd get on the flight. I'd be the first 10 people to get on. And so I know Southwest, and the majority of that experience was beautiful.
Yeah, that's true.
The entire time. I can tell you I might have had a handful of delays, let alone cancellations, over 20 years. And then I saw this happen, and I felt like I lost a friend. I can't believe they screwed this up so badly.
And it's really strange, too. I so many times I would go back and forth to Vegas. I used Southwest a lot, too, and it was great to go to Vegas. I rode to Vegas with Gene Simmons on a Thursday night once. Gene Simmons and a gaggle of women in the front. So it must have been last second for Gene. Why would Gene take Southwest? He must have just decided at the last second to go. Couldn't he go?
Well, because it was a good airline. It still is. Yeah. It's a great airline, and it was always convenient, and I didn't mind sitting in a middle seat. I didn't mind sitting up close, and I didn't mind getting on. And it's always easy. And I remember in the early days of Southwest, because again, I was an original flyer of this airline, but I would fly. And when I always went back to New York, Southwest, I've been so far into this company. I've been with Southwest as long where they didn't fly to New York. They didn't fly to New York. So they didn't go back.
Right.
So then when they started to, I would tell people about it, and they'd be like, what? They didn't even do commercials back there. People in New York, Boston, they didn't know what Southwest was. And now it's the king of the low fare airlines, even though it's not as low fare anymore. But how disappointing. My buddy sent me a great clip of a picture in the 60s on a Pan Am flight, a 747. And everyone was in a suit. And everybody was sitting on what looked to be almost like couches. And the stewardess at that time, you wouldn't get arrested for saying stewardess. You could say that. Now you get arrested. You have to say flight attendant. But the stewardesses back then would come down the aisle with roast beef.
A prime rib.
And they'd have a knife.
A big knife.
A big knife. And they would slice you prime rib. And you would put it down in front of you and you'd have a prime rib dinner. And then your buddy next to you was smoking a dart. He's smoking a cigarette, everybody's smoking cigs, having fun. The women have skirts on and beautiful dresses. The men have their ties on. And that was in 1968. Now it's 2023 almost, and we have chaos where there are pictures at the Las Vegas airport and in Chicago at Midway, all these Southwest terminals where there's not hundreds, thousands of bags of people that could never get their bags. They can't connect. They're running to the rental cars going, can I drive? And this is what I'm saying. We're putting them in harm's way. We're putting people in cars under anxiety and stress and asking them to drive on roads they've never been on before to get home. That's not a good plan, Tom.
Some of your greatest experiences where you bump into somebody on Southwest. I'll go first.
Name drop alert.
I'm flying back from the first Canelo Triple G fight. I think it was the first one. And they all looked alike. And it was one where I think there was one judge who scored the fight a blowout, and then the other two had it really close. And I'm flying back with Louis Anderson, Mrs. Baskets, one of my favorite TV shows. The late, great
love
Louis Anderson.
The late Louis Anderson, who we love. Oh, love God. Louis Anderson.
And Mario Lopez. So I got Mario Lopez here and his beautiful wife who sang the national anthem at the fight. We're flying back to Burbank. And Louis over here. And we're talking about the fight. And Louis Anderson says, I don't know what that one judge was thinking. It was so funny hearing Mrs. Baskets break down the fight and talk about the judging. And so, yeah, that's my name drop. It was a really cool wax about the sweet science with Louis Anderson to my right, Mario Lopez and his beautiful wife to my left.
I have two Southwest stories for you. One, flying back from an Oakland Raider game from Oakland to Vegas, and Eddie Money sees me because he sang the anthem. And he was out of the parking lot at the Black Hole, and he's known me. Wow. Ricky's the bar. So Eddie Money knew me, and I got to know him really good over the big Raider fan. He would always sing the anthem come once a year, and I had an open seat, a middle seat. And he got on. He probably had a C. You know, he didn't have the A. He didn't have it all figured out. And I moved to the middle, and Eddie sat on the aisle. And we talked for about an hour and 20 minutes. And
that is cool.
I'll never forget that. And then a long time ago, my late great friend Rocket, my buddy Rocket, one of my best friends in my inner circle, we were going to see the Giants play the Cardinals back when the Cardinals used to play in Tempe. And we were flying from San Diego, and there were six of us, and we were boozed up, and we're having drinks, and we got the tickets, and it's a short flight. It's only an hour flight. And Rocket's got long hair. That's his nickname. He looks like a rock star. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there, and he calls me T-Bone. He's like, T-Bone, let's get another rum and Coke, and we're drinking. And then all of a sudden, the plane does a complete nosedive.
Oh, shit.
I mean, literal nosedive.
Like in the last Seinfeld? Yeah.
Dropped straight down. The air mask comes out. The screaming, I'll never forget it to this day, the screaming of the kids, the parents, literally your life flashed in front of you for just a few moments. And we probably dropped, if we're at 30,000, 35,000 feet, mm-hmm. we probably dropped 10,000 feet that quickly, but nose down, not slowly. And at a second, I thought we were going to die. And I look at Rock and he's just smiling. He's got his rum and Coke. He doesn't even get it. And then finally, we kind of settle in. And then as soon as we got to the gate, it was such, I don't know exactly what happened. We didn't ask the pilots. Obviously, bad turbulence and what happened, but we all got free flights. And I remember walking out with Rock, and he's like, JT, man, T-Bone, we got another flight. Where are we going to go? I'm like, Rocket, we almost died. We could have died on this trip. But in a positive way, Southwest has done a great job.
Yeah, I've got great Southwest
stories. I just cannot believe that they dropped the ball so badly, as I have friends now who are trying to get home. And this was the first time I've ever seen this, ever, that I remember, where people were flying home before Christmas. So their flight's December 24th or Christmas morning, and they're saying, oh, we can't book you until December 30th or December 31st. Yeah. Like, wait a second. You're talking the next flight? No, we can't even think of booking you for another week.
And those that was pretty early on a couple of days ago, because I've been news anchoring all week, that they said probably not to the end of the year. And Southwest will probably recover, because look at what we're doing. We're telling all these stories that we have, reminiscing about Southwest, and they've expanded, and you know, they have now cheap flights to Hawaii and Puerto Vallarta, and so they've really expanded since the days that it was just a cute little airline that you and I used to take. So I think they will recover because of the reputation they've built, and that's an important thing that we've also talked about over the years, reputation. And so this is a king size publicity they're getting day in and day out, and bad publicity. And when people say no publicity is bad publicity, this is pretty bad publicity. But I think the goodwill they built up and their reputation already will rescue them.
Now, as we try to stay positive and keep the steering wheel on the road, not all pull to the side, as we try to stay positive, I'll start with you. What do you think? And the year was really weird because of COVID still, mm-hmm. and what happened. This podcast has lived through the killing of George Floyd, which we covered extensively, all the years of COVID. We haven't politicized COVID because we both know people who died from it. So we take it very seriously.
Both have old people in our lives. And yeah, my mom is no longer with us. I have a really old mom. You have two old parents, and we didn't want to kill them.
We don't point at people and say, you're bad. You're bad because you thought it was this. But what do you want to see happen in your life in 2023? I guess it's a New Year's resolution, because you're a pretty positive guy in general. Right. What would you like to accomplish in 2023?
Well, I'm always, you know, it's interesting. I always take a look at, first of all, big fan of New Year's resolutions, big fan of resolutions,
yes,
period.
You have been.
Yes, no matter what time people want to do them. I'm a big fan of Wednesday and Sunday. No, I know I'm a big fan of Monday. I know one day is more exciting to have a nice weekend. People always said that. It always confused me. What about today? What about yesterday? What about a nice Thursday? So I was a guy that never thought of Monday as something to dread, or Friday something to look forward to, because I look forward to every day that way. And I'm a person, as you know, who's written down 100 goals. And I'm always happy to write down. Now, I don't know if I need to write down 100 more, because 100 is a pretty hefty list. But I'm never at a shortage of any goals in the goal department. And the number one thing for me is do what I love, and I will continue to live a long time. I've told you about my friend. He's an actor, Shelley Desai. Not a handsome man. He is almost 90, but he looks like he's in his 60s, and he works constantly, and looks much younger, plays ethnic man. He's born in Bombay in India, but he's dark-skinned, so he just plays lots of different ethnicities. Paul Blair Mall Cop. He was the janitor on Curb Your Enthusiasm, Carlos. And I look at him as an inspiration, because and along the lines of Vin Scully. Isn't Vin Scully like 90? Yeah. You do what you want, and you'll live a long time. There's actors that we see that are 90 and 100 years old, and you and I are doing what we want. It doesn't seem like work. So no matter what we have in the bank, if we're happy with our 401k, that stuff doesn't matter. If you do what you want, it brings good energy to your body. Stay physically fit and do what I want for a living, and I'll be happy. And I'll stick with people I love. As you know, I'm loyal.
Nice.
What are you gonna ask? How about you?
What do I want to do in 2023? 2023 is going to be a big year, because I want to see my parents more, as right. they are in their mid-80s, getting right. to their mid-80s. I want to see them more. So I want to consciously – I keep in touch, as you know, at the level I keep in touch with everybody. Right. I want to see more people this year in my life, my cousins, my
Couldn't
parents.
Agree more, yeah.
I want to see more of them, and I'm going to consciously make sure I do that. And I think I do a pretty good job, but everything drops through the crack. My son's graduating college this upcoming year from Oklahoma. That's
so
a big
exciting.
Moment in our lives, because we come as a family to that great presentation. So I want that to be something really important that I focus on. We talked at length on this podcast this year. I want to decrease social media.
Good. Oh, thank God.
Decrease.
As I have. Yes.
All that. That just has to this. And again, congrats to Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or the TikTok in China or whatever. But I think in general, there's not a human being who's listening to us that couldn't look us in the eye and say, if I was on social media less, my life would be better. So that's a big theme as right. we go forward. And make sure you slap me on the wrist several times this year, because you're the only guy I know. My mom and dad don't do it much, or anybody, my friends. You're the only guy that will text me and say, stop it. Exactly. You're the only one. Yes. So hopefully that.
Well, one of my favorite cartoons, I've showed it to you. My favorite cartoons, a guy on his deathbed and he's got IVs in his arms. And the quote is, I wish I fought with more people on social media. It's not going to be anybody's final words.
And then the other one, which is pretty obvious, I think everybody has this in common. I'd like to travel more, because the last couple of years, as I'm saying, I'm at the stage in my life now where the priority isn't to go to Croatia and go to Tokyo for the first time. It's to go see my parents more times.
Yeah.
Right? That's where it is. So to find a way to travel, to fit in these trips and not stress, God, if I don't get back on Monday, I'm going to miss this show or right. I'm going to miss this podcast.
Yeah, you got to calm down on that. And I'm saying that hypocritically over the years. I remember I took two really close friends from Ecuador, who are neighbors, to the airport. And I haven't seen them since. And it was like 2008. No, here's what it was. They had a party at the house for them before they left for Ecuador. The next day, my friend Byron says, can you take me to the airport? And I had to do the show. I should have taken the night off and taken them to the airport. I haven't seen them since. So it was like, it was one of those things where I was saying, got to do this. You got to show up for your broadcast jobs. Got to show. And And, you know, take one of your days off. Take one of your sick days. Take one of your holidays, and don't worry about being back up.
Yeah, and one of the things we do with this podcast is we talk about people, our friendship, and we tell stories and all that. I have a project in the works that I've been working on off my book, The Handoff, and kind of like a TED Talk and something I've been kicking around that I'm really going to try to get over the finish line, do a bunch of other things, and just keep trying to look out and find out what's the next – the next form of, I'm good, not trying to redefine sports radio, believe me, not me. The guy throwing out the phone number, call me. The guy sitting there ripping Aaron Judge. If he doesn't sign, I'll never talk to him again.
Right.
I'm going to redefine sports, but just continue to go to games, take my kids to games, obviously travel more meaningfully with my wife. My wife's the best, as you know. Do some cool things on the travel department with family, maybe go on some bigger family trips, and do that in 2023. And as we wrap it up here, as the clock is ticking on 2022, we both believe that New Year's resolutions are good things. You know,
oh, I want to
quit.
Yeah.
You know, you want to quit something. People, cigarettes, I don't smoke. But if you want to quit, cut down on the booze or cut down on the social media and all that, try to stay with it.
And more than the first 10 days. Write them down. Don't just say them out loud. That's important too. But if you write them down, it's like if you've never run in a marathon or if you've ever run a mile, you got to buy the running shoes. And that gets everything started. When you write it down, when you write down your goals, it's a physical, it's a factualization of your goals. You got to write them down. And that gets it going. I wrote down a bunch of goals in the 90s when I just had pizza boxes stacked to the ceiling about voiceovers and television shows and traveling to Rome and seeing the Mona Lisa and driving a red Corvette. And by 2010, I had all that stuff. And I probably wrote that in 1994, I believe. And then by 2010, I had to come up with a new list. And I had physically written all of that down. And everyone knows about a lot of people probably know about the Lou Holtz who went into his basement and wrote 100 and did about 95 of them. And he didn't get to run with the Bulls or meet the Pope, but he did about 94 others. And I'm a big fan of goals, no matter what time of year, writing them down. And it really helps. I would have every intern that we ever had at Fox Sports Radio, I made them physically write down 10 goals as their only assignment when they were with us.
Well, my life is a lot better with you in it. A great year of podcasting here at the JT and Looney podcast. Share it, download it, listen to it, spread the word on it. And I hope you and your families, everybody who's watching or listening, has an incredible 2023. Great health and great happiness.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.